part two, countdown at the 11th hour. We're going to pick up where we left off. Part two, congregations, conditions just before the purification of Tract 8, the 9th, 11th hour. What greatest deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are all right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness finds that people of the Yahweh and a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. They know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are all in exalted spiritual condition. For the message of the true witness breaks the security by the startling denunciation of the true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness he speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 253 and 3. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire, our garments are unspotted by the world? I saw an instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, "Can you not see how they have potentially covered up their defilement and rottenness of their character? How is the faithful city becoming harder? My father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking." Testimony Volume 8, page 250. "For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh has given great light, and who has stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. For these dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together." Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. "For it is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked." Testimony, Volume 3, page 253. "There are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua and who have no special duty for the searching out the wrongs and for the dealing promptly with the sin existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and doubt and find fault because others do the work that the Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. These stand directly in the way. Those upon the Yahweh has laid the burden of reproving and correcting prevailing sin that his frown may be turned away from his people. Should a case like the Achans be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua and the searching out of the wrong of the having of a wicked fault-finding spirit. For Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with the impurity by perverse people. For the Yahweh displeases upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in responsible positions. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh to rid the congregation of the hindrances and under correct the grievous wrongs, that the people of the Yahweh may see the necessity of the abhorrent sin and may prosper in the purity, and that the name of the Yahweh may be glorified, will ever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated. As for the Zephaniah thus described the true state of this life and the terrible judgments that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with a candle and punish the men that are settled on their lead, that say in their heart that Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil, for the great day of the Yahshua is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahshua, for the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When the Christ has finally come, as it surely will, and the Yahshua speaks, the Son of Yahweh speaks on behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of darkness, and who have brought, have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh's working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone, and the murmuring and the bringing distress upon the cause. And like Achan, becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned. But their confessions are too late, and are not of the right kind to benefit themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit is born unto the spirit of the Yahweh, as well as the Achans, will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 270 and 2. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers, but this is not the case. For the Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he, let's do that again. For the Yahshua, Son of the Yahweh, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For the Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon human instrumentality. But the days of the purification of the congregation are hastening on apace. For the Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Those who have trusted the intellect, genius, or talent will now then stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the height, the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn word, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has faithful servants in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed of you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze that burned you, but it may be under a roof and uninvited exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine charity may reveal. Testimony, Volume 580. Well, the foregoing series of the statements shows that the congregation must be cleansed before the rest of Yahweh's people are gathered out of all country. And then, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, says Yahweh, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. And they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3, 1 and 2. But to be delivered from the captivity and to hear the Yeshua's voice plead there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleadings. That's the next subtitle. They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith Yahweh. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. And the ways hast thou has set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholding, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead. Thou refuse to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yeshua, or saith Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh, thy Elohim, and hast scattered thy ways unto the stranger, unto every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yeshua, son of Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yeshua, son of Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion, and I will give you your pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yeshua, son of Yahweh, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh. Neither shall it come to pass to mind. Neither shall they remember it. Neither shall they visit it. Neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north and to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your father, Jeremiah 3, 1 to 4 and 12 to 18. Howbeit, saith Yeshua, son of Yahweh, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, for he may abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you as a judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcery, and against the adulterers, and against the false spirit, and against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Yahweh, Yahshua the host, for I am the Yahshua, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not concerned. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahshua of the host. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? For ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offering? Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, as saith Yahshua the host, if I will not open you the windows of the heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Yahshua of the host. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be as the last of man, saith the Yahshua of the host. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked monthly before the Yahshua of the host? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness, or sit up, yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that fear the Yahweh spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Yahweh and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith Yahshua of the host. And in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that served Yahweh and him that served him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing spirit shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. By the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning by morning. shall it pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand this report, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Yahshua shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, of a host, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Isaiah 28:16-23. As the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Testimony, Ministers, page 300. Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of the Jacob, again, becoming a kingdom upon themselves, one head, Hosea 1:11, and took for David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, their Savior. It is evident that the congregation, through the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, will be a theocracy. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Okay. This is Antichrist. Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and his underservant, Antichrist David, shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. That's 144,000. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahshua, and the Everlasting, with the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of the David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth, even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua, the host, son of Yahweh, will perform this. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:6-8. Behold, Yahshua, son of Yahweh, will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and behold, his reward is with him, and he will then give them the kingdom and his work before him. He will then gather his people, Isaiah 40, verse 10. So you see, when Yahshua comes to this earth, his work is just before him. He's going to be right here on earth leading his great people, 144,000, and his great army in Joel 2. And there shall be come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and prophesied Isaiah, and the figurative depiction of this first triumph of the Yahweh's people, or purpose, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahshua, and shall make him of the quick understanding, and the fear of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. All right. We have now a diagram of the kingdom illustrated by this here family tree. And that's it. In this illustration, there are three persons brought to view. Jesse, the father of David, the rod David, and the branch Yahshua. For the relationship shows that David, the rod, is not Yahshua, the branch, for the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse, and the branch from the rod, a fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when the Yahshua entered into Jerusalem, for they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, Matthew 21:15. Plainly therefore, the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David, the Yahshua. Upon this instant, the branch and the rod, meaning Yahshua and antitypical David together, of the kingdom of David, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest. Well, let's put it this way. For the spirit of the Yahweh, son of father, shall rest, and the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:2-5. So there, the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and the Messiah the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Messiah is his underlying and controlling source. Wherefore says in Joshua, I am the root and the offspring of the David of the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore, from the stem of the Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Yahshua, David the visible king, and the Yahshua the invisible king of kings, shall in that day in our time constitute the ensign, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest for his resting place, the location where the rod or incense stand, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yes, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60:13, saith Yahshua. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my antipathetic servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, will be their Savior, and my servant and my antipathetic servant David, a prince among them, for I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25, this is the congregation or kingdom, is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27, a theocracy of peace, safety, and invincibility under or with the rule of the one shepherd and a king and a typical David, his servant. But the fact that many kings has reigned over the Israel may in the mind of this time give rise unto the question, why David a type? Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leadership in the time of the large cry of the third angel's message. This being so, then it necessarily follows that Saul, as the first king who reigned over Israel and who was largely responsible for the early experience of the David's life, is a type of the congregation leadership in the period preceding the loud cry. And that's what the leadership belonged to. Brother Johnson in Trump, Texas, he was the antitype of that King Saul's leadership. The leadership which was raised up in 1844 and for the sole purpose of getting 144,000 the first fruits of the kingdom. And each case type perfectly matches the antitype on account of his outwardly kingly appearance. Saul was chosen by the people as the leader will remember to be their king. And the spot of the Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7. Then finally, when the Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to return the throne by attempting to kill David, but ended up ever before David ascended by the deliberately killing himself. 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SDA organization is fulfilling the type, preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's vote. They have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much to please the Yahweh by being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please themselves by being as much as possible like the other denomination, just as in the Saul sign that people wanted to be like the nations around them, 1 Samuel 8:5-7, and although they're chosen by the people, yet the general compass officers were nevertheless accepted by the Yahweh to be the rulers over his people, now as Saul was anciently, just as he betrayed the trust, however, by the disobeying of the word of Yahweh as spoken to him by the prophet Samuel. So the present congregation organization, the ancient men before the house, have, says the prophet, to the congregation today, betrayed their trust. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. For a more ample treatment of the subject organization, see our organization manual. Speaking to the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yahweh says, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Yahweh's order. Are you under the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility to him that these men should stand in a sacred place to be as a voice of Yahweh unto the people? As we once believed the general compass to be, that is past. What we want now is reorganization, general conference bulletin, 34th session, volume 4, extra number 1, April 3rd, 1901, page 225, cautions 1 and 2. Well, this is how, we're in the antitype of this year. Rebuilding the leadership of the Adventist Church. That's already taking place. For the revelatory statement conclusively approved that after the historical Minneapolis meeting in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the counsel which was given them, testimony of the message, page 468, the Yahweh did not any longer their guard, his inner compass as his servant, just as he did not any longer regard Saul as king over Israel after he turned from the Yahweh's command to him. And now, having long since granted the popular demand to organize the general conference in the fulfillment of the type, Yahweh warns that his forbearance has come to an end today, just as it did then, solemnly declares the spirit of the prophecy. For the Zion's call for a spiritual revival, or for the Yahweh, the Father, calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm will continue to grow more abhorrent in the Yahweh until he will refuse to acknowledge them as his children. A revival and reformation must take place under or with the ministration of the Holy Spirit. That's our next title, subtitle. Revival and reformation are two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of the spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, a resurrection from the spiritual death. Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. For the Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. For the revival and Reformation are to do their appointed work, and in the doing this work, they must blend. For the Yeshua of righteousness, 154, repented from review in hell, February 25th, 1902. As the Saul fall came from the neglection to obey the through the letter of the word of the Yes of the Yahweh, and from then excusing his disobedience with the pretext that he had spared the best of the cattle for the sacrifice and the worship unto the Yahweh. So the present leadership, although commanded to shun all worldly connections and ways and to avoid all manner of business on the Sabbath, such as selling literature, raising gold, etc., nevertheless disobediently connected with the world and following the forbidden path, even through the turning of the house of Yahweh into a house of the merchandise, Testimony, Volume 8, page 250. Then continuing in the Saul-like fashion, they pleaded the extenuation of this disobedient and desecrating course on the ground of such a practice as good missionary work. Thus said the spirit of the prophecy, a great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by the introducing merchandise in the course of a series of meetings and by their traffic diverting minds from the object of the meeting. If the Yeshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be ministers or people with a scourge of the small cords, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my Father, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made a den of thieves. These traffickers might have treated as an excuse that the articles they held for the sale were for the sacrificial offering, but their object was to get gain, to obtain means, to accumulate. I was shown that if the moral and the intellectual facilities had not been clouded by the wrong habits of the living ministers, and people would have been quick to discern the evil results of the mixing sacred and common things. Ministers have stood in the dish and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of their labor. Testimony, Volume 1, page 471 and 2. Although acknowledging Samuel as the Yahweh's prophet, Saul at the same time deliberately disobeyed his word. Likewise, though also acknowledging Sister White as the Yahweh's servant, the general compass said, sad to say, or today, by the course that they pursue, denying her authority. This wide open fact is exposed numerous times in the spirit of prophecy, a representative statement being, those who have trusted to intellect, genius, or talent will not then, after the purifications, stand at the head of the rank and file. That's all I'm going to read of that statement. I'll go ahead and read the whole thing. They did not keep pace with the light, that general compass. They didn't keep pace with it. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them, for the Yahweh has a faithful servant who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed of you. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. If they continue this state, Yahweh will reject them. Testimony, Volume 6, page 427. Just as the Saul's outward show resulted consequently only in his being dethroned by another king, so likewise shall the great men of today, those who are at the head of the work and who trust unto intellect, genius, or talent, be replaced by those who, though not having a polished outward appearance, are to be disclosed to view at this time as revealing the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character. For further study on the change of the leadership, see our track number 2, the warning paradox. As Saul furthermore defied Yahweh by the refusing to abdicate the throne, and by the seeking the life of his anointed King David, so now, at the sounding of the trumpet today, we find the general compass refusing to let Yahweh, or Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, take the reins in his own hands. Testimony's message, page 300. They're attempting to usurp his throne by the determining that they are to rule the denomination until the end of this world. And they're availing themselves of every chance to cast us out of their midst in order to safeguard the control of it. Those who are doing this are they whom the prophet Ezekiel prophetically heard saying, "This city is a cauldron, and we be the flesh." Ezekiel 11:3. They are now doing everything possible for the exalted and for the persecuted, for the perpetuating themselves. Let's do it again. For they are now doing everything possible for the exalting and for the perpetuating themselves in the power, and to be rid of the those who have in the name of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, published peace, and brought unto them the good tidings that the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. But this city shall not, says the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst of it. But I will judge you in the border of Israel. Ezekiel 11:11. Those who desire to know the truth for themselves as to what kind of treatment we have received at the hands of the congregation official, as did David at the hand of Saul, may read our chapter 7. Count the evidences on both sides before firing for all again. And the rejection of the message which has come to them with the warning and reproof, and in the continuing in their evil way, our brethren are compelling the Yahweh to cut them down by the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9, unless they immediately repent. Though on their way to suicide with Saul, yet they are sin in their heart. Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Thus, peace and safety is a cry from men who will never again lift up their voices like a trumpet for the showing of Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. As the Saul brother was responsible for the death not only of his son, but also of the people, 1 Samuel 31:6, so the ministry will be responsible for the men, maidens, and little children who fail to receive the seal and who consequently perish in the slaughter. Nevertheless, despite their great sin and certain decorum, David, as a type, reveals the fact that though we may cut the skirt of their robes while they are bitter and wroth against us, and see, and are chasing us around the sheepcote, 1 Samuel 24:3-4, or that we may take the spear and their cruse of water from their bolster, while they are in deep sleep from the Yahweh, or that we may, as we find them asleep within the trench, are covering their feet in our hiding places, 1 Samuel 26:7-12. Have them at our mercy with the power and the opportunity to do them much injury, yet in no case would we hurt them in the least. but rather will defend them. And while they are persecuting us, as Saul persecuted David, everyone that is in the distress, and everyone that is in the debt, and everyone that is in the discontent, well, as a type, it also shows, join us, verse 7:22, whereas all who are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, satisfied, are with the angel of the congregation of the letter sin, in the critical danger of remaining wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and of being as a consequence, spewed out, rejected, cut out, testimony, volume 6, page 427, volume 5, page 80, volume 1, page 190, volume 5, page 211. In the foregoing exposition, we see that those who respond to the good shepherd's voice are typified by the David's followers, and that those who do not respond are typified by the Saul and his followers. In the least parable of the great shepherd, the Yeshua again brings to view both classes. On the one hand, Saul sympathizes, prefiguring in the parable those who excuse themselves on the ground that they were too busy with the cares of this life, and who consequently, with the one consent, began to make excuse for the first sin unto him. I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. On the other hand, David's followers typify those who were found in the streets and lanes of the city, the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind, Luke 14:17-24. Immediately after Saul was informed by Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as a ruler over his people, Samuel was sent secretly to anoint David to reign in the Saul's stead, and though Saul was told that the Yeshua had rejected, that the Yahweh the Father had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate, with the result that the Philistines were besetting his army and were about to take the kingdom. The giant Goliath had stood and cried unto the armies of Israel for 40 days, and said unto them, why are you come out to sit your battle in the array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose your man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servant and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17:8-11. Though not but a stripling, despised by his brothers, and but lowly regarded by all the others, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the disgusting. And he took him, his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near unto the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground, or to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. 1 Samuel 17:32, 40, 49-51. David's victory over the giant against whom no one was able to make war typifies the victory of the congregation, the house of, and typical house of David, Zechariah 12:8, in the time of trouble, such as never was over the beast and his image, and a typical Goliath, concerning whose formidableness the revelator asked, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? For the giant Goliath accordingly represents those who now defy the servant of the Yahweh, and who shall comprise the image of the beast, that religio-political system, which shall defy the armies of the Yahweh, and issue a decree that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, and the cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, Revelation 13:17-15. But in that day, saith the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, will I make Yerushalayim a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, in that day shall the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, defend the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of David shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:38. For the 5 smooth stones and the David's bag with one of which he slew the Goliath typify the fivefold power in the antitypical shepherd's bag, the scripture, with one part of which Yeshua the son of Yahweh shall today smite the beast and his image, the nation, the antitypical Goliath. And since we know that it is by his word and the form of a message that he shall smite the nation, then obviously the 5 smooth stones represents 5 messages, the last of which is to wound the beast, destroy his image, and free Elohim's people from the fear of the heathen. So as the 5 stones in the shepherd's bag are figurative of the 5 messages, the messages thereof are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the scripture. They are in the Yeshua's parable of the vineyard, Matthew 20, the first, at the early hour, the ceremonial system with Moses, 1500 B.C., the second, at the third hour, at the cross with Yeshua and the apostle, the crucifixion and resurrection of the Yeshua, the third, at the sixth hour, 1833, William Miller, first day Adventist with a 2300-year prophecy, and the 2300 days of Daniel 8:14, and the fourth at the ninth hour, 1844, with Ellen G. White, the judgment of the dead, and the judgment of the living, and the fifth and last at the 11th hour, for the working in the 12th hour, the judgment of the living, and the time of the loud cry, which shall wound the beast, and with his own sword, the ten horns of Revelation 17:16, cut off his head, and then with fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. In the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people. For a complete study of the parable of the Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16, and of the beast of the Revelation 17, read the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 222-239, and page 155 and 156. This is the end of verse part 2 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're going to close now with a song.